Praise God, that's Christmas music, isn't it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I like away in a manger, but I love hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me read you some good news from the Word of God. I'm reading from Revelation, the first chapter, the book of Revelation, the first chapter, beginning to read in the fourth verse. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It's important that as we come to the Christmas season, we remember this man Jesus as the babe from Bethlehem. We remember that he did come in that kind of a fragile form as a tiny little baby born in a manger. It's important that we do not lose sight of him as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, that we do not lose sight of him as the one who was dead but is now alive and is alive forevermore, that we do not lose sight of him as the one who has the keys of hell and death, that we do not lose sight of him as the one in whom we may place our trust and our confidence and know that he is able to give unto us eternal life and all of the benefits that go with it. Would you bow with me, please, as we pray? Wonderful Father, you are a wonderful Father, Lord, as we remember how much you cared about your children, that you would send your first begotten, that he would come to the earth, that he would live and die and live again for us, that we, by faith in him, might never die, but have eternal life. Father, we thank you for this Christmas season, and we thank you for the softening that occurs in the hearts of people at this time of year. The spirit of giving and the spirit of love that abounds around about us. And the manifold opportunity, Lord, for your glorious message of eternal love to be sown in the hearts of people who are perhaps more ready now and more open now than they have been all year. Lord, use these opportunities and use us to take advantage of those opportunities to minister forth the truth to soft and open and hungry hearts. We ask you, Father, for the presence of your Spirit in our service this morning, that what we do here today would do nothing except honor the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. That it would bring blessing and joy to your heart, that we are thrilled with being your children, that we are rejoicing in this time of the year, and this morning especially, Father, our rejoicing reaches a peak as we celebrate the coming of our Savior, the Lamb of God, the one who came to take away our sins and to make us new, to reunite us once again with you. Let your Spirit have free opportunity to move in the auditorium today and upon the hearts and the lives of all of us who are here gathered. Bless the choir, Lord, as they sing today, and anoint their voices in a special way. All of those that are ministering in the service today, Lord, use them as your instruments and as your vessels to bless the flock of God, to touch the hearts of the people today, and to minister joy to thine own Father's heart. In Jesus' name we pray all of these things, and thank you, Lord, for bringing them to pass for us. In that wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Now saying to thee, saith the Lord, my name is not only wonderful, but my name is wonderful to you. To you individually. And I say my name is not only the comforter, but I am the comforter to you. And my name is not only help, but it is help to you, saith the Lord. I say I have given you all my names, not just one name, but I have given you all my names, that you would know that all I would be to you individually this day, saith the Lord.
I say to you, my people, that I sent my son as a tiny babe so that you would realize what I am all about. I say unto you that as I sent him helpless and dependent upon my people to nurture and take care of him, and I say unto you that I give my spirit to you in the same way that I gave my son unto you. I trust you with my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. I trust you to take and to use him and not abuse him. I trust you to nurture him and to take him into your lives. And I say unto you, rejoice this day, for I am trustworthy unto you. And I say I am trusting my spirit unto you. And as this tiny babe came into the world, that I count on you to use my spirit and do all that ye see fit to do, saith the Lord.
And I say unto you that I come this day to look upon your heart, and I say that I love you. I say I love you, even as that little song says, Jesus loves me, this I know. I would say unto you this day that I love you. I say I love you. I say I love you this day. I say I love you this day. For I say I gave my son 2,000 years ago to tell you this day that I love you. I say I have loved you from the beginning. I say I have loved you before you even knew yourself. I say I have loved you and I have brought you thus far. And I say I am coming again. And I say I am coming again to pick you up. And I say I am coming again to bring you into my fullness. For I say I desire to show you a love that you would not even know about. I say I desire to reveal my love in you and through you and among you. And I say you look upon the faces of your brothers and you look upon the faces of your sisters. And I say you shall see the glory of the Lord. For I say I will show my glory in this place and I will show my love in this place. For I say you open up your heart this day and know that I love you.
Hallelujah. Well, if I felt lonely and unloved this morning, I know where I'd be. I'd be right here. Let me tell you something, though, about people who feel lonely and unloved. People who feel lonely and unloved don't generally show up at churches. They're hiding somewhere. They're hiding in their houses, or they're hiding in their businesses, they're hiding in their clubs, they're hiding in their organizations, they're hiding away somewhere. And they're not generally showing up at churches not knowing that that's where they can find what it is they need. Therefore, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. And so take what you've been energized with here this morning and take it into the highways and the hedges and compel the others to come in. That's the Great Commission.
Time he should appear. Thank you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Magnificent, isn't it, what the Spirit of God can do with music? Praise God. If you want to follow me this morning, I suggest you turn in your Bibles, please, initially at any rate, to the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th and the 7th verse. And I want to speak just briefly about what the choir has been singing this morning. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7. I want to encourage you today. Encourage us, I guess I should say. Not only in the birth of Jesus, but something that we ought to draw from his birth. Isaiah said 740 years before Christ, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words that are recorded in this passage. And God was giving a promise way back then, centuries before it would come to pass, he made a promise thusly to his people. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah said, when God makes a promise, he will perform it. He is zealous over his promises, and he does not make his promises idly. He does not send things forth from his mouth without careful consideration. When the wisdom of God speaks, you can be sure that the zeal of God will bring the performance of it to pass. Christmas for me, especially this year as I've been thinking about today's service, Christmas means something extra special this year to me, and I'll tell you what it means to me. And I want to share this with you. It means to me the birth of this child, the birth of this Son of God, the birth of this man Jesus means to me that when God makes a promise, any promise, that he will bring it to pass. And he will bring it to pass in the exact detail that he has promised it. Do you notice he didn't promise just a Savior, he promised a child. What did we get? He promised a son. What did we get? He promised his name would be Wonderful. What did we get? He promised that he would be Counselor. What did we get? He promised that he would be the Mighty God. And did we get the Mighty God? He promised that he would be the Prince of Peace. Did we get that? And he promised that of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And we're getting that, aren't we? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now, God has done some really tough things in order to bring his promises to pass. But I don't know if he's ever done anything quite so difficult as this one. When we see this child in the manger, we ought to see the hand of an almighty God in bringing his word to pass. And we should take encouragement in the observing of that to gain assurance that all of God's promises are just as solid, are just as sound, and they are just as sure. And we ought to be able to make declaration with those of the old covenant who were observers of the giving of the gifts of God and the promises of God. And I want to share a couple of those with you this morning. First of all, from the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter, reading from the 14th verse, one of the grand old men of the old covenant, Joshua, towards the end of his life, and as he was giving his final words to those over whom God had given him charge, he gave them this word of encouragement. And it was based upon a life that had been filled with observing the promises of God and their faithfulness. When God makes a promise, beloved, he is faithful and zealous to perform it. I'm reading from Joshua 23, verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. In other words, I'm going to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Woo! Hallelujah! Joshua said, nothing that God promised you for good has failed to come to pass. I've lived my entire life and I have never seen God miss or fail to bring one of his promises to pass. In the book of the Kings, in 1 Kings chapter number 8, Solomon made a very similar declaration as he was blessing the temple of God and dedicating it to the service of God. Reading from 1 Kings the 8th chapter and the 56th verse. Now take encouragement into your spirits this morning, beloved. Take encouragement into your hearts today concerning the zeal and the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to perform his word, and his zeal will not permit one of his promises to fail. If God has promised you something, his zeal will bring it to pass. You just believe it and wait for it. Verse number 56, Solomon prayed this or declared this. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And then in the book of the Psalms, from the pen of the psalmist Asaph, in Psalm 77, verse number 8, the rhetorical question in the last part of verse 8, doth his promise fail forevermore? Is it possible for the promise of God to fail? The answer that comes from the manger of Christmas is a resounding no. It is not possible for the promise of God to fail evermore. It doesn't matter how long time exists. There is not enough time available to cause any one of God's good promises to fail. Doth the promise of God fail evermore? And the Church of Jesus Christ says, no, it does not fail. The promise of God does not and cannot fail. And so for us, let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 10. And for us this morning, let's be encouraged in the Lord. Let's look upon the babe of Bethlehem and upon his manger. Let's look upon the nativity scene. Let's look upon the angels praising God and the angels announcing to the shepherds what has happened. Every time we see or hear the Christmas story sung or reported or read, let's take encouragement in the faithfulness of God and in the zeal of God to perform his word and to perform his promises. And for you and I personally, let's look this morning at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read in the 16th verse. These are some of the promises of God, one express promise, and some others along the way that you'll see, that God has made to you. These are some promises that God himself has spoken to you and to every man and every woman who has ever drawn breath. And if God was able to fulfill his promise by sending forth the child, the son, to be the savior of the world, you can bet what you've got on the fact that God's zeal and his faithfulness will surely bring this promise to pass for you if you'll simply believe it and trust in it. This is the covenant. Now, the word covenant is agreement or contract. This is the deal. You know, if we were playing Let's Make a Deal, this would be the deal that God made. This is the promise, in other words, that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. What is that promise? I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, I don't know about you, but I just feel like shouting, hallelujah. God doesn't remember my sins. You may, and I may, but he doesn't. He has taken my sins away and doesn't even remember them anymore, and he's written on my heart a brand new book. He's written on my mind a brand new book. I know that 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 God will do the same for you. He will bring his promise to pass. You can bank on it. It's as good as gold, or I should say it's better than gold. His promise is to remember our sins and our iniquities no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin. In other words, no more sacrifice has to be made. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Did you notice full assurance? Let us have absolute, complete assurance in the promises of God. If God has promised to save you from your sins, he shall save you. If God's promised to wash you clean and give you a new heart and a new mind, he shall do it. If God has promised to bless you and to bless your family and to bless all that you set your hand to, he shall do it. If God has promised to heal your body and to heal your mind and to heal your relationships, he shall do it. The Lord of hosts shall perform it. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let's not be today we are and tomorrow we're not. Let's not be this minute we're okay and the next minute we're not. Let's not waver, but let's stand firm on the promise of God. Let's hold fast the words that we speak with confidence, knowing that that which God has spoken, he'll also do. For that's what the parenthesis says, for he is faithful, that promised. Let us see our Heavenly Father today as a faithful Father. Let's see him today as we look upon the story of Christmas and as we see the babe in the manger, as we see the promise that he made through Isaiah 740 years before it ever came to pass, as we see the answer to that promise, let us also with the eyes of faith see the answer to our promise and to that which we know God has promised us. Let us be encouraged every time we hear the cattle lowing. Let us be encouraged every time we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. Let us be encouraged every time we sing Joy to the World. O little town of Bethlehem, it came upon a midnight clear. Hark, the herald angels sing. Let's be encouraged every time we think of Christmas, that what God has promised, he will bring it to pass. And let us do, as the next verse says, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoking means inciting one another to good things. Let's remember to encourage one another in the promises of God. Our God is not one that speaks out of both sides of his mouth. His words are sure and his words are true, and the promises that he's making today are just as good and just as dependable as the promises that he made 2,700 years ago, and they shall surely come to pass in the fullness of his time, just as surely as the promise to send the Savior has already come to pass. And you can know for an assurity that they will, for he is faithful. Who promised? Now, what has God promised you? What is it that you are believing your God for? Do you have the Word of God? Do you have the promise of God? Then, by all that eternity says is sound and holy, that promise is as good as yours. You have God's Word on it. He will bring it to pass. Would you say amen? I want you to bow your heads just a moment. This child, Jesus, was a child of promise. He was the result of the promise of God. But I want us to be reminded today that we serve a God of promise. He's a God that has made big and bold and brash promises. But he's a God with very much zeal and very much passion to bring those promises to pass. He's a God of ultimate fidelity and faithfulness, and he will not allow one of his words to fall or fail. He is also the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God who is, as he was to Abraham the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. That which God has promised to us individually, collectively, whichever area of your life you are believing God, that promise is sure. If you have God's word on it, it's as good as done. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but hell itself cannot prevent it from taking place. The devil and his demons do not have the sufficient power to prevent the promise of God from coming to pass, any more than they can shut the heavens up from the rain or cause the sun to stop shining. They cannot bring it to pass. They cannot stop it from coming to pass. What do you believe in God for this morning, beloved? What is there in your life that you have God's rhema, a living word upon? You know God has promised you. You know that you have his word on it. You're not wondering whether it's his will for you or not. You know that you have his word. You know it's your will. It hits his will, but it has not come to pass yet. I want you to think about that which God has promised you today. And as you think about the coming of the Christ child, the baby Jesus in the manger, I want you to relate that to the promise that you have from God for your own personal life. Are you still burdened down with sin? Are you still under guilt for your past sins and your old life? God has promised to forgive you, give you a brand new life. He's simply waiting for you to just receive that and confess this Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Are you believing God for the salvation of someone whom you love very, very much? Do you have God's word on it? Then know today that it shall come to pass. God will perform his word. Are you believing God for a miracle in your finances or in your physical body or in your family or in your relationships? Are you believing God for a miracle? Our God is the miracle-working God, and he delights in doing those things that confound the minds of men. He delights in doing those things that cause men to marvel. He delights in doing the impossible. Those things that no man can do, God delights in doing, because with God, nothing is impossible. What are you standing in faith for? What promise of God are you waiting for? Be encouraged today that no matter how long you have waited, that does not limit God in just one little bit. It does not limit him, not at all, to bring that promise to pass. And so don't you lose heart, beloved. Be encouraged by the manger. Be encouraged by the baby Jesus. Be encouraged by the story of Christmas. Our God is a God of promises, and all of his promises shall come to pass.